Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 104 of the Picos Riley podcast. I am one of your hosts, Emilson, slightly late today because I had some stuff going on. Whoopsie. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Namely.
Hello.
And this week, well, mostly talking about raid stuff. It's been a very busy week for the raid. Mythic came out, the last three on Heroic came out. And, well, we're Heroic Raiders now, for the time being.
We are.
Have you set foot into Mythic at all yet?
No, we have not. We basically we cleared normal up to, we did not kill Jailer on normal, but cleared everything up to normal. So the next, I guess, Anduin plus the other two this week. And then, Heroic, we're just working on Anduin right now. So, got like two or three phase three pulls under our belt so far. So,
nice.
Been pretty good. But yeah, we're literally Heroic Raiders. Like, there's, looking at the numbers, because we did like a couple of crunches in like the number of tier. Like, I don't think we might have one four piece in our entire raid.
We have one. Like, we had a priest that started Friday with one piece and ended Friday with four piece.
Nice. Our priests right now, I think it's going to be a glove tier for them, because we have a priest that has looted gloves two times on normal, and one time on heroic in three, or in like basically four kills across those bosses, or that boss.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, we have maybe one four piece. I'm in the lead, I think, right now. I have a three piece person. So I'm one of like a handful of people with three pieces. So
we had a mage get three piece their first week, and they didn't get any tier this week. So maybe they pick up a piece off of Anduin and complete their four piece. Maybe they don't. We'll see if we kill it. We haven't even pulled it on heroic yet. We're doing that tonight. We're going in tonight and just gonna pull Anduin until it dies or raid ends, one of the two.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. It's definitely a change. I guess we'll talk about it. So maybe we'll do a little week in review. We'll talk about sort of the difficulty curve and like the main topic. But no, it's been fun so far progressing. All the fights actually felt really cool. So far. So but yeah, I guess we've gotten a couple things happening this week, or that happened this week outside of just the raid. We'll go through a little bit. So first up, the Blizzard made sort of a quick little post on legendary patterns from Castle Nathria. Basically, they've started to move these to be purchasable. So basically the same research you have been able to like buy the old Chronicles, which gave you like legendary powers, like random legendary powers. They've added now the memories from Castle Nathria to that vendor. So you buy it with like great offerings, research, soul cinders, all that fun stuff. So,
You can buy the specific legendaries, but not the random one with Cosmic Flux.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Oh, sorry. I got it back. Yeah. That's good. So, it's funny. I finally got around to upgrading one of my legendaries to 291. Cause I was like, how much are they? And like on my server, these risks were only like 100K for the item outright. So I was like, I'll just spend it real quick. Yeah. And I was like, I wonder how many soul or cosmic flux is going to cost. It's like 2000 to upgrade. I'm like, that's not too bad. I have, and I was like, holy crap. I have like 24,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like,
which, keep in mind, Cosmic Flux is used for the thing that we're getting in like 6 weeks that you use to upgrade your stuff into tier.
Yeah.
So it's got something there. But yeah, you just get showered in it. You get like 100 per boss kill. You get a ton from doing stuff in the zone. The other thing that I didn't know, we mentioned this last week. You also get the rep from clearing the raid. So getting your double legendary when it unlocks and getting that put on the right slot that you need is going to be so easy. It's so nice.
Yeah. I mean, I think right now, based on my current trajectory, I'll be revered by next week. So like a week before the actual thing, because don't we have one more week without double legendary? So,
yeah.
So I'll actually have it like, I think at the end of next week, which will be nice. So go into the week not caring about rep. But yeah, so that's sort of a nice little quality of life. No longer have to go through LFR Castle Nathria to get those patterns.
No more LFR Stone Legion Generals to get your legendary.
Exactly. So that'll be good for that. The other thing Blizzard did too this week was they basically disabled an item off of who's this off of? Sorry, off of Lords of Dread.
Yeah,
I couldn't think of it. Yeah, so the it is the Ruined Crest of Lordaeron. It's a shield. It's an intellect shield, I believe. But they had updated the model for this pretty late in the cycle. And so they basically disabled it from dropping, which is, for whatever reason, I thought was interesting because I don't remember them disabling an item based on art before. Like, yeah. Which basically means, like, this thing probably was, like, not even near your model as you tried to equip it, right?
It's got to be, or it would, like, there was some particle bug on it or something that would crash people's games in some scenarios that, like, worked fine on the devs machines, and then they did testing and were like, oh, this is going to cause people to, like, crash.
Yeah, so it's only been removed from dropping this week, which, to be fair, only being removed from dropping this week, but you can still get in your vault. Starting on Tuesday. So they think they should have everything fixed by Tuesday, it sounds like. So
it is also getting a new model as part of this, which is this new model is significantly more in line with what the title of the shield is. Like,
yeah,
this is the crest of Lordaeron. So the shield now matches its name.
Exactly. So I thought this was just an interesting sort of, I can't remember, like, I remember them, like, pulling items because they were broken or they didn't implement them properly. But, like, this seems like, you know, particularly just like an art implementation of
this, which is new.
Which is interesting. So another quick hit too here is that they are removing the Mage Tower reward. So this was sort of a big band wave that hit right in 9.2 for a bunch of what they called account sharing. But it was basically people piloting folks to Mage Tower rewards and, like, PvP rewards, things like that. Yeah. So they've gone through and they're starting to remove basically their rewards and kill credit from anybody who essentially paid to have someone else pilot their character or play their character and get their rewards. So,
which we mentioned that they were actually, like, we had heard that they were removing rewards. This is both confirmation and confirmation of a timeline because they said they were going to have it all done by maintenance this past week.
Yeah.
So, good on them. Good on them. Like, the Mage Towers were hard, but they were not, like, impossibly hard. You know, they're significantly easier than even some heroic bosses.
Right.
But they're good. So I'm glad that they're actually, like, taking that step of removing the rewards for paying somebody to do it for you.
Yeah, which is really nice. Because I think that's the biggest thing from my perspective is, like, I just, the idea of, like, someone getting, like, paying to get the reward is, like, sort of unsettling. Like, just doesn't sit well, I guess. Not unsettling, but doesn't sit well. So it's nice that they've gone back and, like, retroactively done this, since they haven't typically, like, you get your ban and then you get to keep whatever you have based on that ban. This is a nice sort of way of Blizzard, like, cleaning up what people may have paid for and didn't really earn themselves. So, good on them. The other quick hitter this week is Blizzard confirmed that class sets can drop from your Great Vault without killing a specific boss. So I think we were talking a little bit about this in the pre-show before we started, but it essentially allows you to still get your vault and still potentially get a chance at tier sets without killing the specific boss, which... I don't know, like, the way that they've worded it, it sounds like it applies to any part of the cache or any part of the vault, right?
Yeah, but I guess, so basically, because they want it to have parity with Mythic Plus and PvP, which don't care which bosses you've killed when they're giving you vault items or tier items. So if you had to kill, you know, Lords of Dren Rigolon to get those two tier pieces in the raid row, that would feel bad. There's still some outstanding questions with how it works. Like, specifically, there's a previous blue post that I'll see if I can find that indicated that you would get an increased drop chance when you killed the boss in the raid row. So, like, there's no number on that. Obviously, they didn't tell us how much increase, but increase.
Right.
So there's the question of like, what happens if you kill it on normal? Does that increase your drop chance in heroic too? Like, does it, if you kill Lords of Dread and Rigelon in normal, and then you get, you know, three heroic tier vault slots, does the increased drop chance apply, or is it like correct to have as many normal vault slots as possible or something?
Yeah. I would hope, at least my hope would be that like once you kill the boss, like, yeah, if Blizzard, I feel like that would just overly complicate the system for something like this.
Well, we are talking about the Great Vault.
That's true. I just wish, I hope it's not like that, where like the potentially optimal thing to do is to skip. Like, if you're not going to get enough heroic slots in your vault, it's almost better to skip a tier boss to keep the increased chance of a normal vault dropping at the tier set item. But I mean, I guess that's like a super, super, to me, that seems like a very minor, at least min-max from like an early part of the season, where like you'd only do it like this week, next week, and maybe the week after. But like after that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it came up in the context of our alt run yesterday, our normal alt run. And people were like, well, should we go and kill a couple of bosses on heroic because we have some time? And I was like, well, if we do that, are we giving up the increased chance of getting tier in our normal slots? Because we're not going to be killing tier bosses in this alt run. We've got like 30 minutes left. We're going to kill Vigilant Guardian and like Skullex.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough one. I mean, I don't know. I think it's whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
The one thing I think we can probably say is that killing the Jailer is probably not great.
Yeah, because that's the other thing we talked about here was, along the same lines of like ensuring you get the most chance at tier loot, is that does holding off on killing the Jailer in any difficulty make sense until the majority of your raid has four piece, because it basically takes the Jailer's loot table out of your vault. You have less items in the raid that can drop. And to be fair, like the Jailer stuff, other than having increased eye level, there's no like amazing, at least from my perspective. I think the trinket, to be fair, is probably the most amazing item off of him. But like other than that,
even that is like,
yeah, but you're not going to give up tier for that trinket, right? So,
and even if it doesn't affect tier, I don't know about you, but for Brewmaster, like I'm opening my vault in Windwalker loot spec and getting a Jailer piece on normal or at all, honestly, is just worse than getting one of the trinkets.
Yeah. I mean, I can agree. Yeah. I mean, I would say that, there's nothing truly like, I'll never unequip this type of thing. Like item from him. Right. Like,
right.
There's other options out there. So yeah, I mean, I can definitely get behind that. I think though too, like the better side of that is just limiting the amount of loot slot, like different loot items you can get as much as you can, and just focusing on those tier bosses.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think that's going to be like the key. So
I do. Do you? So this is something there's been a bunch of speculation about. Do you think they're going to hotfix in a tier item onto the Jailer, like they had on Blackhand and what was it, Garrosh, where the final boss just dropped like a random tier piece basically for your spec?
Yeah. So I don't. And the only like. I don't. And the only reason I don't think they do it is because I still like the only way, like the way that they describe tier coming into this is that they had to make a bunch of technical changes to even let tier drop from a personal loot perspective and be tradable while still being a token. Right. And so I think that for them to then create a like token that can be any tier set and then be tradable.
It wouldn't need to be like a new token. They could just put all four or all five tokens from each, like, you know, they could just put, you know, 15 tokens on his loot table,
which is that, like, to me that seems like the worst, that seems worse than the Jailer not dropping tier, because at that point you might as an individual get, like, if you only need like a helm right on one person or a handful of people, but then you get two gloves, you get gloves for like your, you know, 8-9 kills, whatever it ends up being, it almost feels worse. Like, I feel like from my perspective they could do that. Seems very lazy. maybe they do it. But to me, the better solution would be to drop a universal token. But I don't think they have the tech to be able to do that, like at least that, in mid-patch.
I think that kind of thing kind of requires a vendor, right? Like,
yeah, that like, would be the other way to do it. Yeah.
It, for Garrosh and Blackhand, you had a vendor that you could go to internally. You could, I don't know if they actually had a universal token. I didn't raid those tiers. It was just like a random token. Okay, it was a universal token. They don't have a vendor, so they can't add a universal token. They could try and do something smart where it's like when you use it, it turns into a tier item that you don't have yet. But
yeah,
that's just going to end up with situations like, oh, I wanted Helm because it gave me gloves. Now I have to recraft my legendary. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Although they could do the vendor thing. I forgot that's the way Garrosh worked, because they could just put a random item on like a random like item that you can trade on the but then you have the Isle of, like, then how does the trading restriction work, right? Like, do you have to have 5 pieces of tier to be able to trade that? You know what I mean? Like, that's the other thing too, is because now you have personal loot and you have all these trade, like these trading restrictions. Like, it's, yeah, like how does it work? Like, if I have 4 piece without Helm and I get the universal token, can I trade it away even though I don't have Helm yet? Like, that is, it's okay. I think at the end of the day, personal loot is a stupid system, and I think that's what creates. Like,
I think the difficulty. I think the moral. I think the moral of the story here is that personal loot just needs to stop. Like,
or
the loot restrictions on personal
trading
loot
restrictions, yeah,
need to go away. And I understand kind of why personal loot exists, and we've talked about this before on the show. I understand why personal loot exists from a solo player perspective. It is better than the old need greed stuff. Like, we have the hunter weapon memes for a reason. Yep. I don't think it was that widespread. Like, Final Fantasy still just uses need greed, but Final Fantasy also makes extensive use of tokens and very specific rules about who can equip what. So there's not a hunter weapon situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I do think that the loot restrictions on personal loot have just reached a point that they're at this point just causing more problems than they solve. Let us trade the loot.
Exactly. No, yeah. So that is the, I think that's the idea, but no, I mean, I don't actually see like the jailer getting like a universal or like all tier tokens added to the loot table. I think it just ends up being, you know, the jailer is the jailer, and you know, you will skip him until you have tier and everything, and then maybe you kill him on heroic. I mean, my goal right now, the coolest thing I'm trying to push for my guild is like, we don't kill heroic jailer till we kill mythic jailer, and basically like go that route, you know, come back in and crush him on heroic afterwards.
I ended up pulling normal jailer yesterday, which not exactly what I would call a top tier fight on normal. Very slow and boring, but it is again normal, so I don't know how much I should expect.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at a couple of videos and then some other stuff on it, and it has like both my favorite mechanic and both my least favorite mechanic in the same fight. And I don't know if I'm too excited. Line of sighting things.
Yeah.
Is an awful mechanic. It's terrible as a healer. I hate it, but it does have the whole jump in the hole, so a bomb explodes and pops you out, which makes for just great comedy during progression, because people jump early and die. They jump late and die. So
you actually, at least on normal, you can't jump early.
Okay.
It's not possible for you to jump early, at least on normal. You jump in, it knocks you back out no matter, like, it's actually super consistent unlike main. Maybe on mythic it's different. I wouldn't be surprised if they made that change where you had to like time it correctly on mythic, which would be
new. Yeah.
What we did have happen is people jump in the hole, get bounced out into another hole and die.
That's awesome.
Had a 2% wipe on the jailer before we just ran out of time for our alt run. Because in phase one, we lost 3 people to getting bounced from one hole into another one.
That's great. I'm actually, maybe I am a little bit more excited for that fight than I say I am, but that'll be good.
I don't know how the like controlling your bouncing direction works on that, because I'm a tank. It doesn't target me. So I never got to try it. But it was great comedy watching people just fly up. There's also, you can have two people jump in the same hole and it mostly works. Like, you get fewer pylons. You don't need the pylons, at least on normal. Like, you need one. As long as you get one, you're fine. And you literally will always get one. So,
yeah.
But you can have two people jump in, and the, you know, like on Maiden, when you jumped in the hole, your like knockback explosion would affect other people too.
Yeah, it could. Yeah.
Same thing here. So we clear both of them, but then the person that was higher up would both get, you know, knocked by their own explosion and knocked by the explosion of the person below them.
That's awesome.
And that, so we had awesome. Someone land on top of a pylon.
Oh, that's all. Dude, that's so cool. Yeah, that'll be a fun fight. All that interesting stuff. I'm wondering, yeah, how it'll work on Mythic too. If that's like, I guess you would, yeah, on Mythic you'll need multiple pylons. You wouldn't have people jump on the same one, but it'll still be pretty interesting. So,
yeah.
Maybe I'm coming around at least on some of that fight. Just the line of sight stuff gives me Azshara flashbacks, and I have.
Yeah, I agree on that one, but at least like I have not looked at the dungeon journal for that boss on Mythic at all.
Yeah.
At least on normal, and I believe on heroic as well, you can just all stack behind the same pillar. So a lot of the annoying pieces of the line of sight just don't come into play.
Gotcha. That'll be nice. That'll work. All right. Well, a couple more last week's news story stuff. Blizzard did make a bunch of changes to the Mythic Plus scaling, which I think I have this out of order in the notes, but they basically... you know, change some of the initial scaling from a Mythic Plus perspective, with mobs gaining between about 30% health and 15% damage. So basically making keys slightly harder than we first expected. And then they also changed the Mythic Zero scaling and increased the baseline difficulty of everything. So generally Mythic Plus harder across the board, both from a Mythic Zero perspective and just from a scaling perspective.
So this is the key thing here is that Mythic Zero and Mythic Plus Two are basically supposed to be the same as far as scaling. It's just Mythic Plus Two adds an affix. That's all that happens. And they got that wrong. So Mythic Plus Two was 30% harder than Mythic Plus Zero.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing they got wrong. Obviously, like, the scaling this tier is higher than it was in previous tiers. We knew that from PTR, but it is higher, and that was like what we, the theory community, learns from PTR. It's not necessarily what the typical Mythic Plus player knows from PTR. Like, they're expecting a 15 this tier to be like a 15 from last year, and they're a bit harder still.
Yeah. I actually did my Mythic Plus this week. So I got nice. Eight done. Got, nice. I think 4, 5 15s, and then like a smattering of like 12 and 13s to finish off the 8. So it was definitely harder. I will say Gambit, my favorite dungeon. It's the new Maw of Souls for me.
Really?
It's super quick. You just crush out some early stuff, and then
those Murlocs. Other than
the Murloc, I mean, you spend the Murlocs are kind of annoying, but if you have a fairly good group, like stunning and like keeping the runners in play, like it's not too hard.
Yeah, you can drop a binding shot or whatever on them and keep them from running into other packs, but it does go sideways very quickly if any of them get away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only problem. But I mean, like, once you get through the Murloc trash, like, it's literally boss, 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 and it's like fairly quick towards the end, which is why it gave me like a lot of like Maw Souls type vibes, where like the ship is basically
it's also got the new lantern mob, aka the things at the end that spawn the pulsars,
dude. So I'm glad you brought that up, because on my group we ran that dungeon probably two or three times, and every attempt was, or every dungeon run was like clean, wipe those mobs. Like, and it wasn't like the same way, like one way, like we didn't realize how much damage the pulsars did on 15. So like, you know, I didn't have like anything ready for it. And we wiped getting ticked out. The next time, the next dungeon, it was like one person was like, we were just talking and not paying attention. They get killed by the frontal. And then like everything falls apart from there. Yeah, those mobs I think are harder than anything else in that dungeon. And they only have two those abilities.
It's crazy.
It has they just have the frontal and they have the little pulsars, but they're just so annoying. Yeah. So
yeah. Honestly, those mobs would be about like 20% easier if they just changed the frontal to be more clearly visible.
Yeah, no, yeah. We had a bunch of people like, I don't know which way it's pulling. So like what we started to do was like mark where it's pointing so you just dodged it. Like that was one of our like melees like
you jobs. Got some fast world markers there. I can't mark that fast.
You got to put a little need
better key bindings.
Key bindings, yeah. A little shift number pad one drops a skull icon. So, but yeah. So I think that's Mythic Plus. It's been fun this week. So
I think I have at this point done more keys this season than I did in the entirety of season two.
I think we talked about this. I'm not there. I think I did 25 keys last season because that's the minimum I needed to get Keystone Master. So. Yep. I'm definitely about a quarter of the way there for sure already. So,
yep.
But cool. So next up is Blizzard. I guess Blizzard gave a big announcement. Really an announcement of an announcement. And I guess we'll spend a little bit of time on this, but, basically Blizzard announced that on April 19th, so I'm still about a month or so away, they will be announcing the next expansion of World of Warcraft. So, which is interesting because it coincides with the opening of the final FR wing. So basically, at that point, the entire WoW community essentially will have seen the final cinematics and seen how the Jailer storyline ends. We get an announcement of the Dragon Isles, I believe, is the current rumor, prevailing rumor that'll come out as we're all going to be dragon aspects and Rathion's back and. You know, all that fun stuff, but no, it'll be fun. I'm excited.
So what we should do the podcast before April 19th. So let's look at the dates. April 19th is probably a Tuesday, right?
It is. Yes. Correct.
Yeah. So April 17th, we should just do a mass like speculation episode. Oh,
that would be fun. I'm excited. Cause like, this is my favorite time. Like, expansion time's always my favorite time because it's the amount of stories that come out about like disgruntled Blizzard workers. Like Blizzard has some of the most talkative disgruntled workers you will ever realize in the industry, where like everything comes out. They're like, they're changing everything. Here's all the art. Here's like the, you know, the storyline. They're blowing it up. It's gonna be crazy. But no, yeah, we should definitely do that because the speculation stuff is fun. I'm excited. Like expansion launches are always cool. The only thing that sucks is like if it's announced in April, it's still probably about a year away, depending, typically speaking. So
how long was the Legion like beta? That was like 10 months, right?
Yeah, Legion was 10. Shadowlands beta, that launched at the end of the year. And I think the beta started to be, so yeah, it was 9 or 10. It's typically like 9 or 10 from like alpha to to release. So. Like,
and we're not going to be seeing alpha drop on. I mean, I would be shocked if we're seeing alpha drop on April 19th.
I mean, and that's sort of the other part of the rumors that you think about is like if they really truly cut 9-3 from Shadowlands, then it becomes a WoD type expansion, and you know, then you have maybe we get alpha like in May, right? At which point you could push for like early next year being the expansion launch, like a January February launch time frame, but
yeah. It does actually, it's going to be very interesting looking at this expansion in hindsight, because in many ways it is going to be WoD, but with Mythic Plus.
And yeah, exactly.
People always are like, yeah, but if WoD had Mythic Plus, it would have been fine. And there hasn't, like, there's been, Mythic Plus is a good chunk of content. It does lose some of its replay value when you've been doing the same 8 dungeons for 2 years, but... it is a good chunk of content. So like I've actually had a very good time doing keys this week and I've spent a whole lot of time doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. I would like to, it'll be fun to like look back on Shadowlands in like a two, 3 years and be like, how does it stack up against other expansions? Cause like, to be fair, like WoD, like I feel like every expansion leaving it, everyone hates it. And then when you look back, you're like, well, it wasn't so bad. Right.
I mean, people are already doing that with BFA. That we have real live BFA apologists now.
No.
And I have found a great trick to put them in their place. And it's to remind them that we had Azerite power. Okay. And they're always like, oh yeah, I forgot about doing all the world quests and grinding AP. And it's like, yeah, did you have to do 3 rep grinds or 2 rep grinds plus your AP grind in Eternal Palace? Yeah, I haven't had to do that. The worst of this expansion was Corthia. And Corthia was not that bad.
No, yeah, I BFA will probably forever be the worst expansion I've ever played through, like of any of the ones that I've done, which is all of them. So I guess I have a pretty good, that'll be my opinion. BFA sucks. Legion actually surprisingly better as I look back. And WoD too. WoD had some really, really good raid fights, I'll say. But yeah, I think to be fair, Shadowlands is in like 2 years, if we actually ever remember to do a retrospective, like I think people will look back fondly on Shadowlands.
I think we're going to see kind of the same thing that people say about Legion, where it was great once like the legendary situation was sorted.
Yeah.
We're going to see that. Like people are going to be like, yeah, Shadowlands was great once the Covenant situation got sorted. Like
exactly.
Like once you could just freely swap Covenants and you could just play whatever anytime. And once they made these quality of life changes, like Shadowlands was good. And I mean, I don't know if I would go that far right this second. It's hard to do that in the present when there are still all these niggling frustrations that we're not going to have to deal with 2 years from now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Stuff like having to go back to Haven to put in all your conduits, or doing the same key twice in a row and getting duplicate conduits because you didn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. It'll be nice. Yeah, we'll see how we look at it. But yeah, I think the other thing too that's going to prop Shadowlands up is like the boss fights, right? Like Painsmith and Sylvanas, I think were really solid. I think Denathrius was, you know, arguably one of the best boss fights that I've gone through. So, I think that'll prop it up. But yeah, so April 19th, mark your calendars. New expansion, new world. We'll head over to the Dragon Isles, calling it now, and we'll
We'll be aspects. So I'm over here, fingers crossed. Alpha access, beta access, something. Let's, wizard, please.
I'll talk to some people. We'll see. We'll get you on a list.
I've already talked to some people, so I'm like, I think I'm sorted, but
get your name on a list somewhere. That's for sure. Awesome. So I guess,
well, speaking of bosses,
I guess we can talk. Maybe I guess we already talked about our jailer topic, right? So I don't know if we want to rehash that.
I guess we should probably. I want to pull up how many guilds in the world have killed heroic jailer. Well, you haven't looked today, so how many have done it?
So I know of one, and I still think it's probably sub 10 in the world. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go on a limb. It's sub 6. There are 6 or less guilds in the world that have killed heroic jailer.
Yeah, you would be correct. It is 3.
Oh.
I have the rankings pulled up right now. it is 2 Chinese guilds. One of them killed it 2 days ago, so on Friday. The other killed it this morning. This morning U.S. time. And then actually Liquid killed it an hour ago. Nice. So, yeah, 3 kills. This is why we're heroic raiders now. I mean, it's not only that there's no point, it's that also there's like Anduin.
Yeah, Anduin, and then even, I mean, to be fair, while I'm not through Anduin, like, I bet you Lords of Dread and Rigolon, just not as pushover as, you know, Guardian was, or, you know, Batescribe, those bosses were, so. You know, yeah, it's...
Also, like, we're talking about, like, these are the heroic versions of the fight, right? We're comparing them to Mythic, Guardian, and Batescribe, right? It's kind of wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. So the fights are tuned here. Like Blizzard's not making the old
domination set mistake.
SOD mistake of like under tuning anything, right? So they've sort of gone above and beyond, I think, and pushing it, which is I'll say in general has been a breath of fresh air, I'll say, in terms of just like the expectations of the raid, because it'll be interesting to see if this tuning stays this way, because the idea would be, at least in my mind, would be like you leave your mythic raider, right, and you leave Mythic in one tier, and then you basically don't restart fully, but you restart your progression through Heroic on the next tier, which is like, I think if we take example of like a guild that wants to work their way up, they'll start normal, clear normal, go to Heroic, clear Heroic, then go to Mythic and clear Mythic. And that's sort of an interesting, like that progression makes sense. In the world before this, it was always like, once you're a Mythic Raider, you're always a Mythic Raider. Like Heroic never matters except for maybe a week or two at the beginning. And it's interesting that they're now not making Heroic matter, but like adding Heroic into like your reset. Basically, you go from Mythic to dropping one tier down and having to clear like the Heroic tier, which would be similar if you're like in a Heroic guild and then you have to clear normal to get back into Heroic, right?
Yeah, it is very interesting. I'm not sure how much of it is like intentional. We want this to be how people progress, and how much of it is a byproduct of like, we tuned this so that it doesn't completely break when you get four piece, right?
Yeah. That could be the other thing too, is that they're expecting double legendary four piece to be such a power gain that like
it is.
Yeah. Which I think, just based on the numbers. So, I mean, they're tuning it so that you just don't walk in here that week and everything becomes like every mythic boss becomes a normal boss, right? In terms of like the damage, healing checks, all that type of stuff.
It is, I will say, like, I'll agree with you though. It's been kind of nice to have this stuff be relevant. Like we cleared normal in main raid this week. We pre-cleared the non-tier bosses on an off night with just people who are online. We did it with like 10 people and just like went through the first five because nobody needs the normal items. And then just did like bam, 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 five tier bosses in a row on normal, which was actually really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we did we did a similar, like we cleared normal, or we cleared Heroic up to Anduin and then went back in and cleared normal. Yeah. Just so we could have some extra trading, some like minor optimization. We don't do splits, but got some people some more Heroic tier so they could trade. Which we actually did get to trade a couple of pieces. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. Like it's definitely more fun, I think, to like progress through Anduin. I think the one thing, at least in my guild, is like we have to do a little bit of like expectation resetting, I'll say. Yeah. I think a lot of times people, like, it's just the old mentality of like we shouldn't be in Heroic for more than a week and then we're done and we sort of only clear Mythic. And I think
it is the same for us. It's also like, you know, historically we have gotten, you know, AOTC the first week. The only time that I think we hadn't prior to Shadowlands was Azshara, where like the tuning, the scaling was just fucked. Like doing it with almost 30 people the first week was basically impossible. Like it wasn't literally impossible, but when you went in and you did it with 14 people, it was just so dramatically easier that it was like, we actually went the next day and it was like, hey, if people are around, we're going to go in. We've been told it's like a complete joke of a fight compared to doing it with 30 when you do it with like 14.
Yeah.
So we're just going to like come in. And we had between the two raid teams in my guild, we had enough people to get like two groups that ran through it. And we got AOTC that week. So that's the only one. But then like, I don't think any boss this tier we've gotten AOTC the first week. We got close on Denathrius, but I dropped the ball in the phase three tank stuff.
Gotcha.
And then Sylvanas was just tuned really high and we didn't get that. There was also the issue, again, with scaling, where the chains scaled both in their health and in their damage done.
Yep.
So it kind of like double scaled with your group. And so once they fixed that, it got easier with bigger group sizes. But this tier is just like on another level. There's we talked about Heroic Jailer, how there's only three kills. How about Heroic Anduin? You want to ballpark the number of Heroic Anduin kills for me?
Ballpark. There's probably, I'd say, not know off the top of my head, about, I'd say like 120-ish in terms of guilds, I'd say.
Let me see.
Right around there?
Find it.
I can actually.
Where am I? Progress. All bosses. Heroic. Okay. What did you say for Heroic Anduin?
Like what, like 120?
There are actually, we are up to 366 now.
Oh, okay. So a lot more. I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
But yeah, it's still like,
yeah,
it's that's not a lot of AOTCs. All right. Yeah, I mean, it's not even AOTC. It's, you know, there's no achievement for Anduin, I don't think, but, or there's like an achievement for Maybe there is. I don't know. But it's wow.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that
No, no, you're good, you go.
One of the things that we used to complain about a bit in like BFA and to an extent Legion was there wasn't really a stepping stone up into Mythic. You did normal and normal kind of was a joke. And you did heroic. And honestly, heroic in BFA is about where normal is now in terms of it, this tier in terms of difficulty. And so then there wasn't really this difficulty in between that and Mythic where things really, you know, ramped up. So I'm not sure if that's what we're getting here because of the high, what looks like really high tuning of Mythic.
Yeah.
So we still may not be getting really a ramp up from, you know, normal heroic into Mythic. But this is at least a lot closer to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the tuning, I just hope that like if this is the new model that Blizzard wants to take forward in terms of just like making it so, you know, you heroic becomes its own part of your progression into Mythic.
I honestly
hope it stays. To me this feels good. Cause I think the other thing that we ran into, or that I think most guilds potentially run into, is like you hit a wall in like Mythic progression, right? And it's you sort of get stuck and it's like just difficult, right? For multiple weeks. But having that slowly ramp up, I think actually what am I trying to say here? I think the idea is like you have like your mini progression to heroic, have like that win of killing the last boss of heroic, right? Which we might not do, but at least getting to like the tier boss in heroic will be our win in this raid. And then you start Mythic and you have that same sort of idea of like you have your mini wins as you go boss for boss, where like in the old model, it's like any heroic is like a waste of time because all you want to do is do Mythic. And so like there's that immediate like, I feel like I'm wasting time of not killing Mythic boss. Then it's like, well, these Mythic bosses, like I just need to kill them faster and faster. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I think it's just a cool, like just mindset shift in the way that like a guild like myself and probably somebody you guys like approaches like going to raid, where it's like, okay, heroic's going to be where we sit for the first couple weeks and then we move to Mythic. And that's just the way that this happens nowadays. Right.
Yeah. And I do think it's funny, like the way that tuning worked last year, I pushed really hard for us to continue doing heroic and main raid until people finished their domination sets. And I like kind of like got what I wanted. We kept heroic and main raid much longer, meaning more than 1 week. We ended up doing it, I think 3 weeks. And by that point, you know, a lot of people had them. There's a couple people that didn't. And we had you know, an off night combined, like both teams run that, you know, people would go and hopefully finish their sets on. But also that was partially like some people just not getting all of their unholy gems.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about that. So this year, like I was really pushing for, we need to be doing heroic and normal every week until our four pieces are done.
Like, yeah.
And I was losing that fight until we saw the Mythic tuning. And now like, I think we're doing heroic and normal every week until at least our DPS and healers have their four piece.
Yeah, which is so funny because, that was like as soon as we saw, like I do this whole, like me and a buddy do, like we do world first bets. So we basically bet, like we make up like 15 or 20 different bets, right? That across the different things, right? And it's always funny where it's like one of the bets is like, what was it? It was like number of pulls to like the first kill on the first boss, like. And it's always like funny. Is it zero or one, right? Like, is they going to one shot it, or is it going to be like multiple pulls? And like, we were both well off of that because like the first boss was like still like a 20 or 30 pull boss, right? By the early shift.
So if we look at, early shift had a lot. Let's see.
What were they in the 50s, right? They were pretty high.
They were high, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I feel a little bit bad for them actually because it got nerfed shortly before they killed it, like hotfix nerfed, and it hadn't been announced yet, which was kind of funny, kind of like feel bad for them,
right?
But kind of funny.
But they got to show the world just how highly tuned this raid was, right? Because like the idea would be like a guild, like you'd also typically see like the BDGGs and like imperatives of the world pick up a couple of early world firsts on the early bosses.
I mean, to kind of put it in perspective, both Shriekwing and Terroru were one shot by Limit. Mm-hmm. Limit took 3 pulls on Vigilant Guardian this tier.
Yeah.
Literally 3 times as hard. The math checks out.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the difficulty curve going into Mythic is crazy, which is I don't know how much more we can talk about just the fact that this was after too about they went through a bunch of hotfixes at the like when the servers came up. So like all the Mythic fights basically got numbers tuned basically before it even launched, with a lot of them just increasing either damage or like health
of things.
Which is hilarious. And like they've slowly been like cutting it down like boss by boss, which I think is I think from Blizzard's perspective, if we take a step back, I think it's almost better this way, just because like the world first guilds, right, are going to rush at this stuff anyway. Yeah. And like for the most part, like when a guild like mine or yours gets there, like the bulk of the player base, we could say, they're going to have a really good, Blizzard's going to have enough data to basically put these things in the difficulty ranges that they want, right?
Yeah.
Like if they want Helandrus to be the hardest boss before Anduin, by the time I get there on Mythic or you get there on Mythic, they'll have enough data from the hundreds or so other guilds to kill it to say, okay, this is where it should sit. So it's almost better that they aim high for these world first guilds and then pull it down for like the normal people, we'll say.
Yeah, I will say, we'll feel bad if something like Helandrus ends up being killed after they just nerf it another time. Like if it's just like, we nerfed it again, boss dead now.
Yeah.
That's going to be very anticlimactic after they've spent so long working on this boss. But I do think there is a very common question of like, how are they going to tune Mythic? Are they going to tune it around 4-piece double legendary, or are they going to tune it like so that you don't need them, so that the world first guild can get them? I think the answer now is obvious. Well, there was the second question of like, if it is tuned for 4-piece, what are we going to be doing for like 3 or 4 weeks until we get ours?
Yeah.
And the answer now is very clear. We're going to be doing heroic. They did tune it around 4-piece double legendary. And, we will be going into Mythic before we've got 4-piece double legendary. We'll probably go and like do Vigilant Guardian or something.
Yeah, next week. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it really depends on whether we get, cause the more important thing is getting tier from Raigalon and Lords of Dread. So
yeah,
we're doing those first, but, it's going to be like this tuning situation is very weird. Like we're looking at Limit, wiping it 25% on Helandrus with their entire raid, except for their tanks having, well, actually that's wrong. They have 2 rogues without 4-piece as well as their tanks.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Which is, yeah. And a guild like Liquid and Echo, right, being in as good as those players are and still doing that on Helandrus. Yeah. It'll suck. I think from my perspective, and we actually was talking about this, we were running Mythic Plus the other night, is like the only thing that feels bad is after you start to progress on a boss, then it gets nerfed, right? Particularly, and for us, like Painsmith is probably the best example of this because we spent about a night and a half on pre-nerf Painsmith, where they sort of changed adding the gap or like basically removing the one row you had to gate over.
Yeah.
And so like that was... It sucks because we got, we had like, basically a night's worth of progression on it before the nerf came in. And it was like, ugh, like this is now easy. Like, and it, not that Painsmith was an easy boss. Like it still took us a while to kill it after that. But it just like the intermission became like just easier to the point where it's like not like, I don't know. It just felt bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. I understand what you mean. Yeah. So funny that you mentioned Painsmith though, because guess who designed guess what other boss the Painsmith designer designed?
Yeah, he did a Helandrus. I saw that tweet. So he did Painsmith, Helandrus. There was one other one too. He also did
Sludgefist. Yeah. Sludgefist. Which is like, promote that man because he's fucking good at his job. Those are 3 great bosses.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's those are awesome bosses. It feels like though too, like you get this too, where you see designers like that design a couple of bosses across an expansion. They're always bangers. Like, they're always good. Like, the person who did the person who did like Thogar, what was it? Thogar, Blast Furnace, and there was one other boss in that like HFC, Blackrock Foundry type lineage, right? Whereas like the same designer did like three or four bosses that people widely considered the best three or four bosses like across that, right? And so like, yeah, like there's always that one guy who just like, or girl, it doesn't matter, but that one person on the design team that just, or an encounter design team that just like hits it out of the park across multiple. Oh yeah, they did Siegecrafter. That was the other boss. It was like Elgar, Blast Furnace, Siegecrafter, which are like, awesome bosses in that sort of WoT era. So yeah, it's funny that they did Sludge Fist.
So we've kind of been dancing around this point, but let's talk about the giant enemy crab.
Got knives now, I heard. So a bunch of crabs with knives memes are coming out. But yeah, Halandris, still alive on Mythic after what? I know it's over 200 pulls for both Echo and Liquid.
Yeah, so actually Liquid literally just had their new best. They went from over 25% to under 20%. New best, 19.8% after 258 pulls.
That's more than they had on Mythic Sylvanas, right?
Yeah.
God, dude.
Yeah. Like, this is SLG level pull counts. Yeah. But it's not buggy in the way that SLG was. One of the things that it's very interesting to look at, like, obviously I have not pulled this boss on Mythic yet, so I am talking purely from my experience on Heroic. And from watching the videos, you know, the VODs and the streams of Mythic Halandris progression. It's fair. Like, you die, and you die because you messed up or you didn't have enough healing throughput for a reclaim. You didn't have enough healing throughput to recover from the missiles. You cleaved a missile. You put a bomb in a bad spot. Your tank missed an orb. Like, these are all, like, there's a lot of very clear, like, oh, one shot mechanics.
Yeah.
But and there's nothing that is, like, bullshit.
I agree. And even the one shot mechanics are not like, you're not going to die because you get overloaded with mechanics, right? Like, the orb pushback mechanic is super simple. You walk into orb. So like, all you have to do as a player is like, look for the orb, put your body between it and the boss, and it's fine. Like, it's not like you're going to wipe to like, oh, we got like, you know, there was like three orbs in this area and like, I couldn't get all of them because I couldn't click fast enough because the game, like, you have to, if the mechanic was you to click on the orbs to move them, like, that would suck. It's like, you literally move your character in front of it or just run through it and it knocks it back. You also don't have to position it either. Like, the whole, like,
yeah, it doesn't knock them away from you. It always knocks them away from the boss. You can, it's actually super clean. Unlike the jailer, like, that, like, bouncing mechanic where it's like kind of hard to predict what's going to happen. You know exactly what's going to happen when you touch an orb on Halandris. It's going to move the direction you want it to, which is away from the boss.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like the soccer mechanic from Nyalotha on that one boss, right? Yeah. Where like, you could aim it slightly off and like, you'd clip the corner of something and explode your raid, right? It's definitely not easy to keep track of it all. But
there's a clip that gets linked all the time in my guild of, we had a warlock go, this is rank one, because they had a crazy good like parse. They got, you know, I don't know what corruption they were using, but they got a lot of it. And as they say that, the orb comes flying to me and I miss it.
Oh no.
Because the orb hitbox is slightly smaller than the circle on the ground. It has to intersect with the center of your character model.
Yep.
So it like passes, it just passes through the front of my character model. And it's like, oh no.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah, but there, I guess on the Halandris, there's none of that. There's no, to your point, I think it's really good point. There's no unfairness, right? There's just, you have to do a lot of healing, do a fair amount of damage, and like, you have to have enough like DR and like enough people doing the mechanics to push through it. And like, if you put those together, you can kill it. It's just, almost like another Painsmith, right? Like, Painsmith from like a mechanics perspective wasn't difficult. But it was just, you needed your whole raid to like do them and do them well, right?
The major difference from Painsmith is that there's no, oops, the raid is dead mechanics on Painsmith, really. Like, I mean, the tanks have the tank dying isn't itself like an oops the raid wipes mechanic half the time.
Exactly.
So it's a little bit closer to like Sledge Fist, which is very interesting. When you point out that the same designer did all three of those, you can see the similarities in like the style of mechanics. They're all the same kind of no bullshit. Like everything is very clean. It's very tightly tuned. The mechanics are there. They're hard. They're engaging. And they will kill you. But you're never going to be like, that's dumb. I was in that. Or that's dumb. I shouldn't have died to that. That shouldn't have hit me. They're all very clear, very clean. I like
that. Yeah, yeah. No, it's been fun to watch them go through it. And even on heroic, even doing it on heroic without the whole hot potato mechanic, like the fight's still difficult. Like it's still not a pushover type fight. So it was definitely surprising when we did it last week, I guess, for the first time. And ran into, we had a little bit of trouble on it. But no, it was it's been fun to watch them. Yeah, it's been fun to watch them progress through it. So I'll be interesting sort of going through this and understanding that this boss is going to get changed at some point. It'll be interesting to see what the actual changes are beyond just like less damage done by abilities, right? Like, do they make different, like, do they make timing changes to the bombs? Do less bombs spawn? Like, I'm hoping.
One thing that I could see them changing is making sure that you don't get triple caged orbs on the same side of the room.
Gotcha.
Like making sure they're more spread. So on heroic, it basically doesn't matter because you have four beams with which you need to hit two orbs. So you've got extra time. If they both spawn on the same side, it's whatever. You're good. On mythic, you have to hit all four orbs with the beams. And one tank cannot realistically take three beams. You have to have. So that means that one tank has to be on one side of the boss and then has to get to the other side of the boss. So that's like, that's one thing I could see them doing is like, you know, changing it so that you always have, you know, there's no more than two spawning on the same side. That also helps with like making sure one side of the room, like one of the things that these guilds are doing on these bosses is like they have teams that are watching different parts of the room for orbs. And when a bunch of them spawn on one side, then, you know, one of the teams may just get overwhelmed and they need help from the other teams. And that also helps avoid that situation. So it's not something that I think the world first guilds need that would make the fight more approachable for like our level of guild. And that's like the main, you know, mechanical change I could see. Other than that, I think it's just numbers. And I'm not even sure how much it needs to be numbers because I'm not sure how much the double legendary is going to impact it. Right.
Yeah.
Cause like, we're going to come in, we're going to have double legendary. We're going to have our four pieces. Obviously, Limit has their four pieces. Echo has their four pieces. Pieces has their four pieces. That's a funny sentence to say, but they've got their four pieces, but they don't have double legendaries yet. Like, are double legendaries going to be that extra 10-20% that they need?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Or are they going to cover that gap for us when we get there?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It'll be. Yeah. That is a good point. So. Yeah, the consistency in where the orbs spawn, I think, is, to your point, probably the best thing they can do that doesn't trivialize other parts of it. Because they could, you know, make it so there's, like, less hot potato orbs you have to deal with after the first phase, which would, you know, eliminate that part of, like, the insta-wipe piece. Or just, like, you have more time to pass off the orb. Like, the orb now lasts, I think right now it's, like, 10 or 12 seconds. You have to pass it every 10 or 12 seconds, and they could up that to, like, 15 or so. Which over the course of the fight just means like more time to dodge screw ups, right?
Or
have bad overlaps in terms of like pass off. So,
but yeah, like Helandris looks like a blast to do. Like, I am looking forward to that boss. I may be less looking forward to the fact that it's probably going to be a 200 pull boss for us or 250 pull boss for us, even after all the gear and nerfs and whatever.
Yeah.
But it is like, I'm looking forward to that in the same way that like Painsmith was great. I looked forward to Painsmith. I looked forward to Sludge Fist. Well, kind of. Sludge Fist had the like rocks mechanic that.
Yeah.
That was honestly, that one was the stones falling mechanic on Sludge Fist. I mean, again, this is coming from someone that has zero pulls on Mythic Helandris. Zero. Yeah. So, but the rocks falling on Sludge Fist probably is the worst mechanic from those three bosses.
Yeah, because it was so quick. That was the problem. Once they added time, because didn't they eventually change the timing?
They added an extra second. It went from like 1.5 seconds to 2.5 seconds, and it just made a world of difference.
Yeah. Yeah, in terms of like getting there. But yeah, no, I think it'll be interesting to see. It'll also be interesting to see, like, at that point, are we in just extend mode? Right? Like, in terms of
that's the
other thing, that if you think about like the idea that heroic, you spend more time in heroic, like more, at least quote unquote, progression time. Like, do we now, like, by the time we kill Rigelon and Lords of Dread, right, on heroic, we'll probably have the skip from an Andorran perspective. And then so is it, we're continuing to do those bosses, and like the gear that we get from like mythic, like Dissogne, does it even matter? Right. After when we get to mythic,
especially Londres. Like one of the big things about mythic is often like, obviously it's higher eye level loot.
Yeah.
But additionally, it's things like trinkets that scale well. And this raid doesn't have a lot of good trinkets. It's got two good agility trinkets. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that might be it.
Yeah. I mean, the stat stick trinket, I forget where it's.
Elegy.
Yeah. Like that seems to be a very, like, just speaking with a bunch of my guildmates, seems to be like a very highly rated one across both healers and DPS. Yeah. So potentially it's there too. But yeah, no, I mean, there's not a ton of reason to like re-clear Vigilant Guardian like in week 5 or 6, right? Like,
right,
of mythic. Like, you're probably just at that point extending. And then does it become like, does the awesomeness of this progression curve sort of die at the end, where it's just like, it just turns into the same thing Sanctum was, which is like, after you kill Painsmith, you just extend until,
I mean, everything extends once we reached Painsmith.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and we, I think we were the same, like, we were the same way, where once we got to Painsmith, we basically started that extending streak, and just does that sort of wear on morale too, where it's just like,
right,
you're only killing your entire raid time for a week is what if you do like 6-8 hours is just progression, at least for us, or like, you know, whatever type of guild drain is. It like the time I'm about to raid is just progression time until we kill the last boss, and that's on boss what, 6 of 11 or 7 of 11?
Yeah, we were like going Halandras, Anduin, and then Lords of Dread and Rigelon. At least Lords of Dread and Rigelon look like they're going to be, well, I not Rigelon, Lords of Dread looks like a mechanical complexity step down from Anduin and Halandras. There's just less going on. This stuff kills you, but it's honestly a nice break.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it reminds me, like, it'll be interesting to see how many pulls Anduin actually takes at past Halandras, because it'll be funny if this is like the HFC tier where you had, what was the boss?
Gorfiend.
Yeah, where you had like Gorfiend being the mini wall in the middle, and then once past Gorfiend, like the next two or three, while not pushovers like Guardian, they weren't like single pull bosses to kill. They were much lower difficulty, right?
Yeah.
And so like maybe that's the curve they're going for. It doesn't make sense, because like Anduin's supposed to be like this big bad. So
yeah. Yeah. I after heroic, I fully expect Anduin to be another wall.
Yeah.
I expect it.
I would hope so.
There is nothing on Mythic Anduin that looks like, I was commenting this in Guild, there is nothing in the Dungeon Journal for Mythic Anduin that looks like you can break it in the way that, like, even on PTR, we knew you could break the tank mechanic on KT with the trinket from Fatescribe. There then was like the spikes being like one of the core mechanics, and you just completely like neutered them. Like, obviously they were still hard, but significantly easier by putting all of your 3-minute cooldowns in the same 10-second window, and then extending the duration of each phase so that you had them all back up for the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it seems like it's not like that at all. So it'll be fun to see what Anduin really looks like on Mythic, if we even see it this week. Right? Like, that's the interesting part, is like,
yeah. So one other thing from this week, from the like race, nobody killed a mythic boss on Tuesday.
No. Yeah.
Zero. Liquid was doing splits. BDGG was doing splits. Everybody was doing splits. Echo, actually funny. Echo had people raiding on NA with another guild to see the new bosses.
Yeah.
Just a couple people just raiding with some friends on NA, not doing real like race to world first progression, but they logged it to their guild, so it was showing up on the race page on Warcraft logs.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So we had to answer a bunch of questions about how Echo was progressing on, you know, Lords of Dread or Rygalon.
Yeah.
When it wasn't out for EU yet. It's like they have NA alts and they log to their guild and yeah. But nobody killed a mythic boss until Tuesday. A kind of random guild, the early shift, killed Vigilant Guardian first on Wednesday. And they just like, I don't know what their raid schedule is, but they were just on like for 6 hours on Wednesday working on that boss.
Then
like Liquid, Echo, everybody was still just doing splits. Splits for a tier.
And they were doing some degenerate splits too. Like, I don't know if you saw the way they were stacking groups, but it was like a 9-1 type situation where like they'd have one person on their team that needed the tier piece and they'd bring in 9 traders, so that person would almost be guaranteed to get the tier piece, which is just like it's so to me like that part of the race is like the most, it's the worst part for me because it basically means that really there's only ever going to be like 2-ish guilds that can compete for actual world first, right? And it's generally going to be probably one from each region because like whoever can pull the most people to help support that is like, you know, if you're trying to gear up, Liquid probably has like 28, 30 people that they're trying to gear up, or characters at least, right? And so like at that point,
you have 9 traders per person per boss.
Yeah. It's a massive amount of people. Massive amount of people to support that. And so like it's just not fun to do. If I was in Liquid or Echo, like that would be like the worst part of the race for me. Like just personally, I'd be like, this is just not that it's hard, not that it's interesting. It's like, this is just stupid that we have to do this. Where like, to be fair, the simple fix would be just to remove the trading restrictions from personal loot, right? And that way, like,
you even really fix it though, because it drops extra loot with larger groups. So you still want a bunch of people in there that aren't going to want the loot. You want to run, and this is the same, like master loot, personal loot, whatever. You want to run, like, you know, the ideal situation would be to run 30 people with 3 raiders, no trading restrictions, and you just give those 3 raiders the pieces.
Yeah.
And they get 100% of loot. And that's ideal, and that doesn't go away with removing the trading restrictions. It's just a fundamental part, kind of a personal loot. Like, you can stack and control the loot that drops with personal loot in a way that you can't with master loot. So as long as personal loot's around, that kind of stacking will exist. And as long as you can do any kind of, you know, bringing in outside people that don't need the loot to trade you stuff, they're still going to be doing this on some level. But personal loot, especially this tier,
it's
so crazy. Like, there's always been this push against the race to world first being on like tournament realms, but if this is how it's going to be, I wouldn't be surprised to see more of a push towards it being on personal on tournament realms, because this is insane.
Yeah, it's getting almost to like the point of like being comical, like the amount of like just almost running this, like not even thinking about doing it, but like being able to run like this from a logistical perspective of like identifying like, all right, here's all the raid groups we need. Like, it used to be like, oh, Method, you know, back in the day, each method player had 7 alts and they'd run like 7 or 8 splits like within their guild and maybe bring in a couple other people, but they'd have so many alts and play those. Like, where nowadays, like as a person in like Liquid or Echo, you could technically run like 2 or 3 characters. And that's it, right? Like, that's all you would probably need to have ready, because like, you'd know that like, all right, rogues are probably going to be good if I get tier. Warriors might be good to be like a melee player. And then all the loot you care about is being traded to you by the community, right? Like,
extra trading restrictions on it, they do actually have more what they call mirror characters, where it's just the same character, different, or the
that's
same
true too, class, yeah.
different character. So they can like, they can just take, you know, the characters that got good tier in their runs, and then bring people in and basically buy tier from people that can trade it on their other runs. And just give them to the ones that already got, you know, two teardrops by themselves.
Yeah. Well, it's like, that's like the whole, like the mirror character thing, I think, is also like the old legendary, the Legion legendaries, right? Where like you create the same character two or three times just to see what initial legendaries you got.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that. But yeah, no, I don't know. It's like the degeneracy, I think, is always going to be there from like the World First Guilds. It just, like, as a viewer, like, it's just not a viewer, but as someone who like looks at this and being like, this just seems stupid, right?
Yeah.
Like a tournament realm or like some sort of cap, like they could do, I've heard people talk about like the Destiny 2 system, which I don't know if you're too familiar with it, but the way that Destiny
2 have like a light level cap on that, right?
Yeah, it's like your light level or like item level, I guess would be the equivalency, is like it's capped for the first like 24, 48 hours of any new raid. And like, basically that's your world first push, is like to beat it at the lower light level, basically. And you get like a special in-game reward for it. And like, that's what all the world first Destiny 2 teams do, is like basically try and beat it under that like competitive mode. And it's only active for 24 hours. And afterwards, like your light level doesn't matter. So like, it'll just increase for whatever. So maybe they do something similar here. The problem is like, I don't know. It sucks for, like, not that it sucks, but it's like, there's a component of like Blizzard, like WoW being an MMO and like collecting gear is sort of that idea. So you get more powerful and like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of ways it could go.
I do think, to kind of wrap things up, because we are running short on time I was late. I do think that personal loot has reached a level of complexity that they really need to take a step back. And we were going to talk a little bit about what things we wanted to see from next expansion. This is something I would like to see. I would like them to take a step back and look at their loot systems and look at the complexity of it and look at how far they've gone from, you know, the vanilla TBC model where the boss has these items on it. When you kill it, it drops three or four, whatever the number is. It just picks three of them at random. And that's the loot model. That was the whole thing. And now we've got like, oh, but if you have more mages and you have a better chance of getting this item and
there's personal loot. There's like bonus loot now. Like tier is like considered a piece of not like bonus loot, but it's like not on the main loot table, which is the same reason like conduits,
personal items.
It's like conduits and stuff like that are on a separate part of that loot table. And it's just super convoluted in like the nature of like, how loot drops nowadays. It's just like, and then the problem with personal loot that I absolutely hate is that like certain bosses just have an item that like a certain number of classes can only get off of it. Like, what was it? Beast Lord had the opposite, where it's like Beast Lord had like a neck and a cloak for like the majority of classes. And so like when we kill Beast Lord, there'd just be like eight necks or like four necks that would drop. And it's like, well, like you're always going to have more of those. And like the people who actually need an item have like a very low chance of getting it because they're one of only two classes in the raid that can use it, right? I don't know. That's the other side of personal loot that sucks, is that like you can't have interesting items for like a certain class or like a certain, you know, type of class, because if they're not,
that still happens though. It's actually worse with personal loot. If you look at like the Sylvanas daggers, and you look at the Sylvanas loot table, having one person in your raid, they could get Sylvanas daggers, one rogue in your raid. There were five items on the loot table. You would have a 1 in 20 chance that the rogue gets an item at all. And they would have a 1 in 5 chance that it would be a dagger. You know, something like that. Which is like, then there's only like 12 items total on her loot table at all. So even if it was guaranteed that the rogue gets a dagger when they kill the boss, you're still more likely to see it just from master loot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, sorry. And that was my point. The point was like, there's like basically dead items on some loot tables where it's just like, you like the, what was it? Kel'Thuzad. We had 40 necks from Kel'Thuzad over the course of our kills, which is just like at a certain point,
two maledicts.
Yeah. 40 necks, two of the staves. And like, there's another item. There's another weapon from that. Right. Or another item, some warrior.
Jathys off of the boss. Yeah. Kel'Thuzad was the same way. Yeah. Which my DK that is now rotting in a corner has a Jathys. And then there's the really weird like changes to loot rules that are totally unexpected and hard to predict. Like, I got a Jathys on my paladin.
Yeah,
I did not have a 259 weapon. Well, 259 two-handed weapon, but I had a 259 one-handed weapon. So I was able to trade it. thankfully, because that would have been, I think our warrior would have like quit the game if I had gotten Jathis 2 weeks in a row on two alts in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
And been unable to two trade either.
But you're still able to trade it, right?
I did trade him the one on my paladin. Yeah, and it's like that blindside. I wasn't expecting to be able to trade that.
Yeah.
It
was like some one-handed plus two-handed, or like your one-hander and shield combination somehow met up that it was enough item level that you could trade a two-hander.
I had the one-handed weapon from Kel'Thuzad, the one-handed sword from it. So I had an item that was 259 in that slot, but it wasn't like normally like they had different rules for like whether you could trade a two-hander when you had a one-hander, and like apparently they relaxed them and didn't. I missed the memo. It's just like the whole thing is like confusing and convoluted and frustrating to play with. Yeah. And that is one thing that like, obviously I want them to tone down on the like borrowed power systems and things for next expansion. Like tier sets and legendaries, let's go.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Also just the whole like loot, the complexity of the end game systems as a whole, just tone it down.
I think simplifying loot would be good for sure.
We actually have a bunch more stuff that we didn't get to because I was basically 20 minutes late today.
No worries.
Is there anything else that you want to touch on before we wrap up?
The only real quick Mythic Plus thing I wanted to touch on was just that they made a change to the way the affix works. The new affix is called encrypted, and basically you'll get three relics that will spawn in certain trash packs, and you kill one of them first and you get a mob that gives you a buff. So what they changed was basically as soon as you kill one, the other two despawn. So now basically you can sort of hard focus the one relic you want to see, and you don't have to worry about the damage or anything else from the other two relics once you kill that first one.
As long as a relic was alive, they gave damage reduction to the pack you're in. So it was actually very important to get them down, but also extremely important that you not get the wrong one down first.
Yeah. 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 So it'll be nice, particularly on bosses too, where like certain bosses, particularly bosses that came with adds along with the relics, it was sort of became a little bit more difficult. So you have to get through the relics first, then the adds, then you can do the boss. And this sort of is a nice little quality of life.
I don't know if this is on our notes, but this is a very recent hotfix. It came in, I think, Friday, late Friday. Mm-hmm. They made it so that now the relics always pull together. The relics are linked to each other.
Oh, okay. I never pulled them separately, so I didn't know.
Well, like as a tank, what would often happen is I would taunt one. Like they weren't usually linked to a pack. So you would pull the pack, you would see the relics didn't come in. So you would taunt one of the relics, and the other two would just sit out there. And that meant that you couldn't trigger the thing, because you only had one relic and you need to kill all three to get your bonus. And then you would go kill the other two and it would spawn like a seemingly random one.
Yeah.
So that was a very nice hotfix. It actually goes a long way to making the affix feel better to play, because now you can just, tag one of them as you pull the pack, and you will get your bonus now. None of this like trying to Crackling Jade Lightning one and taunt one and she wave the third and try and get them all in the pack.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
But
that sounds awful.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I think there's some other stuff that they put in. I mean, a lot of just hot fixes to the boss in general and Mythic and some other stuff to classes. The other thing we didn't get a chance to talk about, which maybe this is not next week, but maybe the week after type conversation around the cinematic. That's it. The cinematic ending, which is people are a little bit up in arms with that one. But I didn't have anything more like super pressing for this episode. So
yeah. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Then we are going slightly long because we started rather late.
Yep.
So appreciate Anom sticking around. I know he's got stuff to do. So we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here. A couple quick like announcement things. No podcast next week. Anom's unavailable. We're just not doing it. The week after, podcast is going to be, I believe it is an hour early. We're going to do it at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Yes. Because that's what we're in now. Exactly. And then we'll be back after that on the regular schedule at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
A little bit of movement. Too much. It's real life getting in the way of just hanging out and talking about games. So.
Imagine having a life.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. But that is it for the show today. I hope you all enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it and you want to support it and the other work that we do, like guide updates and new posts, I put something up. I actually did go through and I did my trinket post on Peak.
Nice. So
there's a post up there with like, here's the new trinkets that we've noticed that you should probably pay attention to from your vault and whether you should take them from your vault and whether you should go farm Mythic Plus for them. And the answer is generally no, you should not take them. Except for the two agility DPS trinkets from the raid.
Nice.
But yeah, so that's up. If you want to support work like that and the all the other stuff that we do for Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/Peak of Serenity. And of course, come join the Discord. Lounges are always great. They're probably on about F1 right now. I'm not going to lie, I haven't left this morning. But
if there's next weekend.
Brew Lounges. Okay, so next weekend, Brew Lounge is going to be on about F1 all summer.
Yeah.
But that is the place to be for information about your class and spec and any changes that get made. But that is it for the show today. Thank you all for watching, and we will see you next week.
Bye.